recipe for God's healing. We're covering part number two. And so I'm getting prepared like a chef to add the ingredients. So this is a cooking show. What are we cooking up? We're cooking up some healing. Everybody say, we're cooking up healing. Now don't mind the logo on this. It was a gift to me. We're just getting suited up to be able to cook up some good things from the Word of God. So let's go to the Word of God in Psalms chapter 103 and verse 1 through 4. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That you forgive all of my sins.
That you forgive all my sins.
My iniquities.
And you heal.
Every one of my diseases.
Every one of my diseases.
Now, so we should be thankful for those benefits and blessings that we have every day.
Amen.
From God. It says, who redeems our lives from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, I'm going to take my hat off because it's hot. So you get the picture. Praise God. And so our first instruction, as we pick up on part number two, is to add scriptures. That's our first steps. And so we had scriptures we talked about last time, and we're going to add them into our recipe. So I've got my little bowl here, and the first scripture we're going to add to our recipe tonight is James chapter 1. Verse 19 through 22. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. So we're going to add that first ingredient. That first ingredient reads this way. So then, my brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God. And it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So that's something we're supposed to do. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, says in King James, which is able to save your souls. And so it only takes meekness, because you have to humble yourself to pray, but you also humble yourself to receive the word.
Amen.
So when you read the word, for example, you should be receiving the word.
Amen.
Now, if you read it out of arrogance or intellectual energy only, you're not going to receive the word. The more faith you put in reading the word, the more you will get out of the word. Some people don't put faith in the word. So we receive through a posture of meekness, a condition of humility. He said, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. And he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So when we read or we receive, we have an intention and a heart purpose to do it. That's when you know you're in a place or position of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a status of humbleness and saying, God's thoughts, which is his word, is higher than my thoughts. And God's ways are higher than my ways. So I don't put my ideas above God's ideas. I don't put my ways above God's ways. Amen? He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And again, there can be a lot of self-delusion going on if we think, I know that, I heard that before, I already got that. And if we don't prepare our hearts to be strong and then put our flesh under subjection to our spirit, then our spirit will dominate our listening capabilities. In other words, We can tune the minister out. We can turn the word off. We can fall asleep in the midst of God talking.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. That means we hadn't prepared our spirit. We got to be meek. See, when your spirit man's in control and it's flowing out of faith, faith in and of itself, in essence, is an act of humility, because you're obeying God. You're acting on the word of God.
Amen.
And so here you have to come to church by faith.
Amen.
You have to watch online by faith. Amen.
Amen.
And see, when your faith, you're focused.
Amen.
Because you want to get and receive and do what God says and not what you think or what other people think. So to prepare your heart to hear God's word, as we shared last week, in the midst of a trial or trouble or sickness or disease, where you need to receive healing from God, we as Christian believers and Christ followers must, number one, concentrate our focus and attention being swift to hear. That means we come to the room, we come to the sanctuary, we come to the church, we come to the screen door online, saying, who am I going to help, and what am I going to learn? We have a learning posture. We lean in with our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church and to me as the Christian.
Amen.
We lean in. Amen.
Amen.
You know how you're in the car and it's a little noisy, and maybe have several people in the car, and you hear something on the radio or you hear something on a song per se, and you tell them, you know, quiet down, turn that up so I can hear it. Maybe that's something off the TV. Turn that up so I can hear it. Well, you need to turn up your hearing volume so you can turn up your receiving activity. Be swift to hear. Number two, we got to control our tongues. Slow to speak. In other words, God blessed us with two ears and one mouth. So listening is learning, and we have to learn how to talk before we talk. And I know sometimes we might have to unlearn not to run our mouths or to open up our mouths prematurely.
Amen.
Because this little tongue, James says, a little fire. It's a world of iniquity. It's a fire that can burn up a forest, can start a forest fire. So you got to keep your mouth under control. Number three, you got to contain your anger. Slow to wrath. Everybody say swift to hear,
slow to speak,
and slow to angry.
Slow
to get angry. This is not just the outburst or explosive type of anger. This is the internal hidden emotion of anger as well. That means you got to slow to be walk away with a grudge, with an eye toward vengeance or revenge, or having some ought or offense, because that's all subordinate to the big deal, which is anger. We don't have Word and Holy Spirit anger management. So we don't contain our anger by quickly forgiving and learning to forget. So forgiving and forgetting helps us deal effectively with anger. That means we got to wipe out the offense. We got to wipe out the transgression. We got to clear our conscience and control our thermostat. Because we said it last week, uncontrolled, unresolved anger, if it's not resolved and dealt with by sunset or the end of the night when you go to bed, then it will metastasize. It will make you homicidal or suicidal. So the next day, you're either going to kill somebody or you're going to kill yourself. Now, we're not talking about physically, but we're talking figuratively. In other words, you can hate on other people. withhold love or stop loving and stop forgiving. That's the beginning of hatred. When you stop loving, when you stop forgiving, you start hating. And the Bible says when you hate your brother, you're murderous at heart. That means you're like a murderer. If you don't contain that anger, you could be on the spiritual news report. Breaking news, brother so-and-so has just killed his sisters and brothers. Sister so-and-so just killed their spouse. Number four, we cleanse our lives from sin. So we control our focus, number one. Concentrate our focus. We control our tongues, slow to speak, that's number two. We contain our anger, slow to wrath, number three. And then we cleanse our lives from sin, number four. That means we lay aside all filthiness and wickedness, overflow of wickedness. You know, just like you cut your grass, and if you have to do like we do, you have to trim those weeds and, you know, trim the edges and get the weeds up, pull the weeds out of the garden. It's not easy work, but it is necessary to work to keep the weeds from spreading. Amen. But you got to do that to the garden of your own heart and soul. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. And so this word filthiness, as we said last week, has a moral connotation, but also is also sometimes described as earwax, because we're talking about hearing. And sin and disobedience is just not compatible with receiving God's word. When a person is in sin or in active rebellion or disobedience, then they can't hear the God. They can't hear or won't listen to the word of God. That's why repentance and forgiveness has to come before, because they're hard-headed and hard-hearted, and a lot of times they can't get through because of so much built-up earwax. It prevents the word from reaching a person's heart when you got the overflow of wickedness and filthiness. And then somebody says, well, I'm not filthy. I bathe and wash every day, you know, but our attitudes could be filthy. Considered based on scripture filthy because we don't do what we're supposed to do. Amen. We could be filthy by just gossiping and backbiting somebody and talking about the boss or cutting down a person or giving them a critical condemning remark. Amen. A judgmental mark. That makes your mouth filthy. Jesus even said, filthiness and uncleanness comes from the heart, not from the hands. Amen. So the word receive with meekness, the engrafted word, we said receive, is translated several times in the New Testament as the word welcome. So think about it, friends, online. Think about it, friends, here in this sanctuary. Are you welcoming the word of God tonight? You have to welcome the word to receive the word. You got to say, I have an ear to hear. I want to hear the word of God. So I welcome the word of God. Now, God's word should be welcomed into the heart, received with anticipation, like we said, like a love letter, when read with a desire to put the words and commands into practice. In other words, like you got a letter in the mail. You said, God's going to give me a letter tonight. And I'm going to open it up, I'm going to welcome it, and I'm going to endeavor to put the words in this letter or commands from this letter to practice. That's when the word becomes transformational and not just informational. Amen. And so this ingredient, this first ingredient, summarily, is willingness and obedience to the word and revealed will of God. Willingness and obedience. We read Isaiah 119, which says in 20, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, if everything's hard, everything's burdensome, everything's bothering you, if you're just bitter, then you better go check this verse. Are you willing and are you obedient to what the Lord told you to do? Because he said, you'll eat the good of the land. This is the qualifier. But he said, if you refuse and rebel, you might be saying, yes, amen, in church. But inside and outside the church, you're going, no. He said, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword and the mouth, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we got to get before God. And this is a good time of year to do it. You know, the balance of the year. We got a little bit over a month left in a year. And you get before God and become quick to listen, to hear from God. We need a word from God for the family to 2021. You need a word from God for your life for 2021.
The Lord's here is coming. Praise God.
It's going to be upon us before we realize it. Secondly, we must receive the word and will of God or God's plan and purpose. And then third, we respond to the Lord with our complete full trust and obedience. So when the Lord says it, you say, okay, that's what we'll do. That's what I'll do. You say, yes, Lord, I'm yours to command. Because never, we said it, never will we have a better idea than the Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Never will our modification of his clear, direct instructions and divine instructions be an improvement to what he's already told you to do. So we can't have what we call sanctified stubbornness in the sense where we just want to do things our way. We're singing that Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way. Some people struggle with doing it the way their leader tells them to do it, on their job or in the church. We never submit ourselves and say, well, how would you like it to be done? How are you pleased with this? People want to say, I want control. But, you know, Lord means master, ruler, owner, controller. The one who gets to tell you what to do. Don't yell out God is in control when you got vice grips around your own steering wheel of your life. Don't yell out, God's in the control. People say that now as a flippant phrase. Sometimes people post it on the internet, social media. God's in control of all this mess. He's not in control because he's doing a poor job if he is.
Amen.
You have to give him control. You have to surrender control to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
You need this first ingredient. The second ingredient is Psalms 107, verse 20. We're going to put that in our bucket. Psalms 107, verse 20. It says, he sent out his word and healed them and snatched them from the door of death. Read down the New Living Translation. That's awesome. They said, well, we need something from God. He sent out his word. And the word healed them and snatched them from the door of death. Look at the Passion Translation. It says, God spoke the words, be healed. And we were healed, delivered from death's door. Now, we said sickness is a form of physical death. That means some part of your body or your mind or your emotions has decayed or is dysfunctional. It's decaying, it's dying, it's deadening, it's not working as to the optimum way it should. It's not increasing, it's decreasing. So the absence of health equals sickness. sicknesses are absent from health. So God provides his word to do what? Bring divine healing. To bring divine health. To help us walk in divine life. In other words, we must welcome and receive God's word as our healing medicine. We believe and receive God's spoken word as our command. He told them, be healed. Well, what do? You act like you're healed.
Amen.
God said you're healed. You don't ask your body, can I be healed? No, you don't ask your symptoms. Do you think I'm healed? He said, be healed.
Amen.
Now let's look at this example. Example is in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came a centurion. Now, a centurion is the captain of about 100 people. 100 people he was in charge of, soldiers. A Roman centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, it wasn't him, it was his servant. And Jesus said, I will come and... Verse 8, the centurion answered, said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Look at that. His faith is talking now.
Amen.
For I am a man under authority. So he's asking Jesus the same thing, Psalms 107, 20. Just say, be healed. Just speak the word only. I don't need you to crawl up in bed and come under my house. He sent his word. Just send your word, Lord, and it will heal me and rescue my servant and deliver him from death.
Amen.
Are you seeing this? He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. So he already seen this in action. In the natural with 100 people or so people that he was in charge of. He said, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not it in all of Israel. Jesus always marveled at great faith. And he said, I said unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed. So be it done to thee. And his servant was healed when? In the self same hour. 60 minutes this guy was better. Now he was grievously tormented before, but when Jesus gave him his faith commendation and said, go your way as you have believed, so be it. That was enough words to cause his servant to begin to get cured and healed that same hour.
Amen.
Now, is there any lack of power?
No.
Is there any lack of potency in God's healing promises or God's healing provisions? No, his health care plan has not been downgraded and demoted to a lesser level, because we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Come on now. And so healing belongs to us.
Amen.
So the centurion understood three things. Number one, the spiritual authority Jesus had. He had military authority over 100 people, per se. And secondly, the power of commanding words by those under his servant. Because he said, I say to this one, go. I say to this one, come. I say to this one, do. So he knew the power of commanding words.
Amen.
And then number three, the servants do what their masters or authorities command them to do. So here's the big truth. See, the spoken word is just as powerful as a personal visitation. The spoken word is just as powerful as a visitation. So like we said before, healing always comes, but it's not always received. Because people have to receive his word. His word and him are one.
Amen.
So some people say, well, Jesus, come down and help me and come down and heal me. Jesus, walk through the door. So some people even want to have visions and dreams and have Jesus come visit them. No, you don't need Jesus to come visit you and manifest himself to you. This right here is just as strong a manifestation of the Lord than him coming down from heaven and standing over your bed. Somebody say, glory to God. The spoken word is just as powerful as a personal visitation. That's why you can get healed right where you are. Because power is present everywhere.
Amen.
But it's the switch of faith, like he told the centurion, according as thou hast believed, so be it unto you. What are you believing? That will determine what you will be receiving. Here's the third ingredient. 1 Peter 2:24. Don't stir that in there. Put that in there. Now, this is the first step. You got to add all these ingredients. So, 1 Peter 2:24, I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic this time. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree. As on the altar and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, King James says, by his stripes, but by his wounds you have been healed.
Amen.
The Passion Translation says this, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Whose healing? Ours. Where do they flow from? His wounding. Because when he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He got all those stripes on his back, not for his own healing, but for ours.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. J.B. Phillips says it this way, and he personally bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might be dead to sin and be alive to all that is good. It was the suffering that he bore which has healed you. It was the suffering that he bore which has healed you. That's past tense. So in the mind of God, you're already healed.
Amen.
And you have to get it in your mind when you add this ingredient, this scripture in the recipe, you got to get it in your mind, I'm already healed in the mind of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't have to try to get healed.
That's right.
Jesus got healing already for me.
Amen.
Come on now. Yeah. Jesus already got healing for me. So if I was healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, I'll say, according to the word, I am healed. You could be blowing your nose a mile long. You can be coughing up a lung, as they say. You can be gimping around like you just broke, busted, and broken down. But what do you say? You say what you believe. That's your faith talk. Now, most people fact talk, and that neutralizes or negates your faith. They talk faith 1 minute, next two, three, four, 5 minutes, they talking facts. Oh, my head really hurts. Oh, man, my feet hurt. Oh, man, my hips. Oh, man, this is going on. oh man, looks like I got allergies and sinuses. And so you're making double confessions, and you're going to have double trouble. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So this scripture is telling us, in other words, on the cross, Jesus died for my sins and delivered me on the same cross from my sicknesses and diseases. So the same redemptive act to pay for our sins, he also procured our healing from all our sicknesses and all our diseases. Also, all you got to do is look at the cross and say, okay, he took care of it. Whatever the doctor says doesn't contradict what God says.
Amen.
God's word says. God's word says you were healed when stripes were put on Jesus' back. So when the doctor or the diagnosis says you're not healed, you're sick, you're diseased, you got this diagnosis, you say, okay, I choose to believe God. Amen.
Amen.
And according to the word of God, I'm already healed. So you got to get the facts out of your mind and get faith in the word of God into your mind and into your heart.
Amen.
Is this simple enough for you?
Yes.
So also, according to the word of God, I'm healed. You don't have to get it. This fourth ingredient, 1 Timothy 2:13. Now, these are key ingredients. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So we'll stick that into our bowl. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says it this way. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us. Now, this you got to get out of this, I want to hear from God audibly or directly. Because sometimes the miracle's in your pastor's mouth. Your miracle's in your pastor's mouth. In other words, the voice and the vessel of ministry that speaks to you, God is speaking through them to you.
Amen.
And so he's saying this. Look what he said. The word, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectually works in you who believe. So you're not receiving it as a word of a man. Now, if you're receiving it as a word of man, then you can have commentary about it, or you can be critical toward it because, well, I wonder if that's his opinion. I wonder if that's his idea. And you judge the word. Because you run out and say, this is what the pastor said. My God, don't have a whole bunch of conversation when you talk about what the pastor said.
Amen.
Because you need to be talking about what the word says.
Amen.
Amen. Don't believe anything because I said it or anybody else says it. Believe it because the word of God says it. Praise God. And so you have to say, I believe, I choose to believe the word because God's word is God talking to me. Now, it could be talking to me directly as I'm reading it and feeding it, or it could be talking to me, God can be talking to me directly through my pastor. In other words, I'm hearing my pastor or my preacher, but I'm really hearing the Lord talking to me. See, I receive the word of God like I'm welcoming and receiving God himself.
Amen.
I receive the word like it's God talking and speaking directly to me. You know, there's an interesting scripture in Romans chapter 10 that says, how can they hear without a preacher? Some people trying to hear all kinds of other stuff, but they're not hearing without a preacher because they're not listening to their preacher. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that some people hear their pastor or their preacher, but they're not listening. They hear noise and volume, but they don't have clarity and clear hearing. Perhaps there's earwax. Perhaps there's a rebelliousness or refusal to accept it from a human vessel. But that's God's system. Amen.
Amen.
That's why it says how beautiful are the feet of them who bring the good news, glad tidings of peace. They preach the gospel. To the sick, the gospel is, I can be healed.
Amen.
I am free. I don't have to be bound by sickness and infirmities. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Come on now. We got to change and break up some of these mindsets and some of these religious mentalities or we call traditional mentalities that, you know, I'm trying to get healed. I'm all doing it, trying to do it all on my own. You need a preacher.
Amen.
Every sheep needs a shepherd.
Amen.
So you ought to be thanking God for your pastor. Wherever you are, you
Amen.
Ought to be very grateful that, you know, God, you're speaking to me through this vessel.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
Somebody
God.
Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
So, and say, when I believe the word of God as truth and final authority, then the word of God works effectually in and through me. See, God's not going to be second place. Or let me get second opinion. There's only one opinion, the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, legally, if you're led, or medically, if you're led to go get a second opinion from a doctor, that's okay. But don't second guess God.
Amen.
Don't disrespect God by saying, well, Lord, you're going to have to prove that to me. Now, the Word has proved you.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
All right, so God is the Word of One. The Word of God and God are inseparable.
Amen.
And you have to think and take your mind through this process of reading the Word of God, receiving the Word of God through my pastor or my preacher or my minister, and you have to get so thrilled and so expectant that you say, God, I'm receiving it like you're talking directly to me. Amen. And you make sure you read your Bible. That's why we tell you the scriptures, tell you the text. And when you don't have kind of a real intense or intentional focus, you don't turn to the text. And that's how some people, like birds, they got their eyes closed and their mouth open. Why? Because they said, well, he's got the label of preacher. And I've always told you, don't believe everything because I said it. You ought to be putting your eyeballs and your fingers on the word.
Amen.
You ought to be doing that at home, putting your eyeball. What does the word say?
Amen.
What does God's word say? That settles it.
Amen.
Not said it because I said it. It settles it because he said it.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, fifth ingredient. This is the last ingredient we're going to put in. 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As his divine power has given us all things. Has given us all things. I'm emphasizing that phrase. Has given us all things. What is all things? What is all things? He's given us all things that pertain to what? Not death, life, and what? Godliness. So he's not giving you all the casinos or places of ill repute. He hadn't, you know, that's not God's godliness, because they do a lot of bad stuff sometimes in those places. All things that pertain to life and godliness. You got to chew on that. Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, by which we have been given, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, and that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Passion says it this way, everything we could ever need, listen to this, for life and complete devotion to God, has already been deposited in us by his divine power.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So everything you can ever need in life and for life and complete devotion to God. You know, a lot of times when you're sick, your focus is on the pain,
mm-hmm.
the problem.
Yes.
You can't necessarily say you could if you're doing it by faith, but sometimes if you do it by your feelings, you say, oh, I can't. And that's, I'm not trying to be offensive or mean or cruel. That's how people say, well, I can't serve. I can't come to church tonight because I'm sick. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. I've got physical problems. See, sickness is a hindrance from us having a life completely devoted to God.
Amen.
Because our excuse or our alibi is always the condition. I can't do this. I can't deal with that. I can't do this. I can't. So instead of receiving our healing, we're using the crutch. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Did I step on somebody's toes? I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes. But everything that you need for life and a complete devotion to God has been given to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so many times, and sometimes we need to repent from that stuff, always using our body as an excuse. When Romans 12 says we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reason, that means my body belongs to you. Galatians 2:20 talks about, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. One translation says, it's Jesus using my body. All of us should be walking around with Jesus jerseys on in the spirit saying, Jesus is using my body.
Amen.
Well, sometimes we prevent the Lord from using our body because we've given him a disease, sick, and I don't want to get healed kind of body. We use it as a crutch or an excuse to say, God, you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm dealing with. You know what I have going on. Don't look at me in that tone of voice, because there's many testimonies of people who've lost limbs and who have blind eyes and they're still serving God with all they have.
Amen.
And we say we're tired, we're sick, we're hurting. My condition is too alarming right now. I can't do anything. And then the fear on top of that with the pandemic, people have said, you know, I can't come. I can't do this. I can't serve God. Now, don't shout me down. Don't write me any ugly letters. Don't text me any ugly notes. Praise God. But we have to get serious about having a life that's completely devoted to God. Because, see, sometimes, listen to this. Listen to my heart. Sometimes people just want to get healed so they can feel better.
Amen.
But the real motive should be, I want to get healed so I can serve better. That I can follow Jesus better and fully, and I can be faithful fully.
Amen.
Not just get healed so I can sit down and watch TV in comfort, or I can go to sleep without any back pain, or I can get up and do what I want to do without any physical limitations.
Amen.
Jesus is supposed to use our body. That's why we got to add this scripture. Everything's been given to me for the reason, for life, and complete devotion to God.
Amen.
That means Jesus needs my body to be fit for his use. Healed for his servants and for his pleasure.
Amen.
Let's read that again. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
Passion Translation. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experiences of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him to a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 4. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are far beyond all price, so that you, that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have been have escaped the corruption, corrupt desires that are in the world.
Glory to God.
Somebody say glory to God. Now, some of you heard me read the story before, and I'll read it again about Tom Brooks. And I'm reading from this book by Darlene McCarthy, 1 Minute of Praise. And so she talks about the story of his tenacious praise, as she entitles it. But I think it's more tenacious faith. Because when you get sick, you need to have your faith needs to get turned up to certain tenacity. It says, I'm supposed to be healed.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to be strong. I'm supposed to be prosperous. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
And so she leads in with the Hebrews 10:33, the hold fast confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. So Pastor Darlene Bishop tells a story about a man named Tom Brooks. And he was unlearned and illiterate. He had gone to church and had been given his heart to the Lord one day. Now, everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. One day he heard his pastor once say in one of his sermons that all things are possible to them that believe. Now, he was ignorant, unlearned, and illiterate. Well, Tom said, that's pretty simple. All, not part, not just a little bit, but all things are possible to them that believe. So he went home to his mother and told her, now, mother, I can't read. I've never gone to school and learned how. But my pastor today told me that if I'd ask anything in his name, that he would, and if I would believe in my heart, that he would give me the desires of my heart, because all things are possible to them that believe. Simple. Choosing to believe and choosing to receive a miracle. Now listen to this. So I'm believing God that God is going to teach me how to read the Bible, this Bible. And like Keith Moore says, Pastor Keith Moore, he says, when you read the Bible in faith, you get more out of it.
Amen.
Some people still struggle trying to read the Bible, because they're trying to read it in the natural and read it by the energy of their flesh and not through the engagement of their spirit. That's where faith is at.
Amen.
His mama said, now, Tom, you haven't been to school. So she's talking him down, trying to talk him down. You haven't got no learning. But they have a class down the street and you can walk to, so you can go to school there. They'll teach you how to read. Why don't you go and register in the school? Because you know you're really asking for an impossible thing. Let's go down, because I know they're teaching people how to read. Tom said, but mama, if I go enroll that school, then what my pastor said ain't true, because my pastor said, really is the word of God, all things are possible to them that believe. And all things means that if I can't read, then I can ask God and he will teach me how to read.
Amen.
So you could say he was healed or cured of illiteracy and not knowing how to read. So you can get done by faith what it'll take you 50 years try to get done in the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, if it means if I can't read and I can ask God, then he will teach me how to read. So he said, so you just stay right here. I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going out to the woods behind the house. Then I'll be back when I can read. He chose to believe the word.
Amen.
That his pastor taught. Somebody said glory to God.
Glory to God.
His mama thought, well, I'll never see Tom again. So he got his Bible and went out to the woods, and he opened up and started the pages, and he built a fire and sat by it through the night. During the day, he walked in the woods and just stared at those pages. All the while, he repeated to himself. See, he's hanging on to the word. He's hanging on to the word. All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible. Then he turned the page and said again. All things are possible to them that believe. He turned again and prayed. All things are possible to them that believe. God, you said in your word that if I ask anything in your name, it's mine. So all things are possible to them that believe God. So I'm praying that you will teach me to read the word. So he looked at it again, and he would turn page after page and say, all things are possible to them that believe. One night around the campfire, he had his Bible open to the Psalms. He looked down at the pages saying, all things are possible to them that believe. And then the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. After that, he ran out of the forest shouting to his mother, mama, mama, listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. And he ran through the neighborhood, walking up to everybody by shouting, do you hear this? I can read. I can read. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. See, this takes away this old religious idea or notion that I've got to earn my healing, or somehow I got to get good enough to deserve my healing, because this seems impossible. So I got to be a special holy case for God to qualify to do a miracle here. No, he said all you have to do is believe. And when you believe, you will receive. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
And so he's running around the neighborhood. I can read. Don't tell God. And so don't tell God God can't supply your needs, because he knows differently. But the story doesn't end there. God saved him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, taught him how to read, and then called him to preach. So Tom needed a church to pastor. And again, he went to his mother and says, mama, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I can read the word. Now, mama, I want to build a church. Well, now, son, you know you haven't got any land. You haven't got any money. You know, isn't she kind of religiously correct? That's damaging. Well, mama, that mountain out there in front of our house, that mountain right there. She said, are you talking about that real tall mountain? She said, yeah. And the one you can hardly see the top of it, I'm going to build a church there. Now, Tom, you can't put no church on top of that mountain. No, but let me tell you what I've recently read in the Word. The Word told me that I can speak to my mountain, and it could be removed, and I could cast it away, and it would have to leave. So, mama, I'm going back to the woods. So Tom went back to the woods. The first time he had been out there for 8 days before he had his breakthrough. This time it didn't take him quite as long. He wasn't out in the woods long declaring all things are possible to them that believe. I speak to the mountain. And I command that mountain to go. I cast it away. And while he was praying, the scripture came. Someone came knocking at the mama's door, and she answered. Two men standing there asked for Mrs. Brooks. She said, yes. We're from a company that's been strip mining out there on the other side of the mountain. We're through strip mining, and we have this big hole in the ground. So we need more dirt. So we are wondering if we can have the dirt from your mountain. We'll pay you to move your mountain. Mama turns and runs out the back door shouting, Tom, Tom, your mountain has just moved. So Palm's mountain was removed. With the money he got for it, he built his church. Tell Tom that God doesn't supply all your needs. He knows better. See, he created an atmosphere of faith. And what these recipes are doing for us and will do for us will create an atmosphere of faith. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not finished there, because we got step number two. When we add, the first step is add scriptures. When we add the word, the word is alive.
Amen.
God's word is not dead.
Amen.
It's alive. It's active. It's so we can say these are the active ingredients for your healing. These are the active ingredients for your healing recipe.
Amen.
For you to receive. Step number two is to meditate. Stir. So the stirrer is that we have to meditate in word. Joshua 1:8, New Living. Study the book of this book of instruction continually. How often? Continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure that you obey everything written in it. Only then when you prosper and succeed in all you do. You can't be lazy in your faith. One pastor we had in the East Coast used to say, there's no such thing as easy street faith. I still remember that. And some people want easy street faith. God, let me just give me my request and let's just... No, you got to stand in faith. You got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to confess the word and hold on to your confession of faith. Amen. You got to be tenacious with your faith. Because this is a slow cooking recipe, oftentimes. It takes faith and patience. Just like when we cook that turkey tomorrow, it's going to take faith and patience for it to come out right. Hallelujah. We meditate on day and night, and we're sure to obey everything. Only then we're in process. So here's the Bible way to meditate the Word of God. Three things, real quick. You got to mutter it. That means you got to speak it to yourself. What are you doing when you speak the Word to yourself? You got to school yourself into faith. Number two, you got to talk it. Psalm 77, verse 12. I will also meditate on all your works. I will talk of your deeds. So go find somebody to talk to. Some of us are too silent, and we lose by default. We're trying to believe God, but it's all internal, and it's all just personal. You need to have somebody you release your faith to. You talk about the promises. You talk about the faith of God. You talk about the word and the will of God for your life. You talk it amongst each other, and you talk it out loud. That's a form of meditation. It gets you thinking on a higher level. You don't talk about the problem and the pain and the pressure, because some of us are real good at that, but we don't talk about the promise. Amen. We got to get good at that. Number three, we got to muse it. Everybody say, mutter it,
talk it.
Muse it. So that means to mentally chew it, imagine it, think on it. Psalms 143 verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse the work of your hands. So we would always say it in the country, it's like a cow musing cud. He would chew it up, swallow it a little bit, and then spit it back up in his mouth and then chew it on his lip. That sounds nasty, but you got to mentally chew that promises like you squeeze an orange juice out of an orange or lemon juice out of a lemon. You squeeze it with your mind. You flip it over and squeeze it again. You mentally map it out in your mind. You musing it up. You hatching it up. You thinking it up. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
I'm not talking about transcendental meditation or crossing your fingers, putting your fingers and body in a lotus position and humming. No, I'm talking about muttering the word, talking the word, and musing the word. See, worry is a negative form of meditation, and many of us have learned to worry. And it's a meditation on the lies of the devil. Bible meditation leads to revelation, which leads to results. The third step is to add faith. And so we mix faith by forming it and establishing faith in our hearts, speaking faith-filled words with our mouths, and releasing our faith and putting our faith into motion. So in other words, when you hear the word, it doesn't profit you if you don't mix faith with it. Now, this is the mixer. This is a stirrer in the natural, but your mixer, stirrer in the spirit, is your tongue. So you hear the word, you got to go back out and speak that word and talk that word and put that word in your mouth and out of your mouth.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So the word will not profit you or become fruitful to you unless and until faith is added. Faith has, the spirit of faith has two ingredients, believing and speaking. If you just have it believed in your heart, you say, well, I believe, but have you been speaking? What you saying? That's why you need four crazy faith friends. Tell you, what are you saying about that problem? What are you saying about that situation? Last step is this, add corresponding actions. Because verbal faith without corresponding actions of obedience will not survive. Because if the Lord told you to do this in addition to you speaking, then you got to take that step of faith and obedience to do that. Kenneth E. Hagin, others ministered to the sick. They would say, do something you couldn't do before because you got to act your faith. Some people's faith has no action. And faith without corresponding actions is dead. It will not survive. It will never serve the purpose and plan of God. It will stand. It will not stand in the face of sensory contradictions or feelings, fears, or facts. Because every time it doesn't look or feel like it's getting better, you stop and you quit on your faith. We believe and we speak and we do what the Holy Spirit directs and leads us to do. When Kenneth E. Hagin was on the bed, as we close, he said, the Holy Spirit said, if you believe that you receive, he had already prayed, he had already made the statements of faith, saying, I believe I receive my healing from my deformed heart. I have a good heart. I believe I receive my healing for my incurable blood diseases. I believe I received my healing from my paralysis. I believe I received my healing, just because I forgot, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, the next step is, you know, in what we would see it today, he said, if you believe that you receive, that you, when you prayed, he said, you would thank me for it. So he had to act in faith without nobody teaching him. He said he lifted up his hands and began to thank God. And just like we have to do, we got to thank God before we see the full manifestation of it. Amen. That could be your next step. Don't miss your next step. Joel chapter 3, verse 10, the second half, it says, let the weak say, I am what?
Strong.
So a lot of people get stuck where they say, well, I'm so weak and tired. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like doing. Well, there was a minister laying up on the bed. She couldn't eat. She couldn't keep any solid food down. And Pastor Keith Moore ministered to her. He said, in 30 minutes, 45 minutes, she could barely say it. He said, sister, let's act on the word. The Holy Spirit told him, your healing's in Joel 3:10. See, there's enough healing power in the scripture to get you results.
Amen.
One scripture. So she laid up this. I can't. I said, no, shh, don't say you can't. So he got her to say, I'm strong. And he said, took her. She barely out of breath. And she couldn't breathe. She said, I'm strong. He said, okay, get your breath. Say it again. I'm strong. Why? Because the word says, let the weak say, I am strong. Don't say how you feel. And so she said, 35, 40 minutes later, she's standing up on her feet, shouting. They said they heard her two blocks down. I am strong. She was acting her faith. Amen. If the Holy Spirit tells you to laugh, you laugh. Just like Hagin, just like a lady we told you before in Mexico, in ICU, quarantined, left for dead, had nothing. No strategy. Her friend comes up to her. He said, remember the Holy Spirit reminded me of what we learned at Winter Bible Seminar. She said, we just laugh at destruction and famine. And they begin to ha ha. She's got breathing machines. She's all, you know, all these things connected to her. She can't hardly breathe and talk. But she's under that mask and that oxygen machine going, ha. And over a course of an hour, she got the machine off, she got all the leads off, she's up on the bed shouting and laughing and just rejoicing. Come on now, praise God. Come on, let's just stand right now tonight. Thank you, Father God, that we can shout, we can rejoice, we can act, we can receive our healing through your recipe tonight. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We purpose to do your word, Lord. To put into practice what we heard in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just continue to thank him. Thank you, Lord.